blessings of God can come to our lives as we focus on His Word, because it's in the Word of God where we find the truth about every situation. You know, every one of us wants to think that we have an idea, at least, of what God wants for our lives. I think that sometimes we don't know as much, maybe, as we think that we do. But at the same time, we have an idea of the general things that God wants to do with our lives. And there's always those times when we come into situations where we don't understand what's going on. We thought we knew God was going to go this way, and in reality, He's going this way. And so how do we anchor in? And how do we learn to recognize blessing even in the hard and difficult places of life where we often find ourselves in this Christian journey? And the answer to that question is, it's through the Word of God. We're going to have to understand some things about the Word, and we're going to have to settle these issues within us once and for all. Number one, the Word of God, this Bible that I hold in my hand right now, it doesn't just contain the Word of God. It doesn't merely have words of God in it. This Bible is the very Word of Almighty God. And so this Word has to have final authority in my life. The Word of God has to be given first place in my life. You've heard preachers say these things many times, I'm sure. What does it mean for me to allow the Word of God to have final authority and first place in my life? Well, it means simply this. No matter what the circumstances look like, no matter how I feel, no matter what's going on in the world around about me, no matter what's going on in my circumstances, whether it's in my home or on my job or in my finances or in my body, no matter what's taking place around me, the Word of God is true. And so I base my stand, some people call it a faith stand, that's fine to do so. I base my stand, my faith stand, upon the Word of God. Now here's a tricky one also. What happened last time, even though our God is a God of patterns and cycles, but what happened the last time God brought me through something might not happen in the same way this time. So what we're boiling it down to see is there's one thing in all of life that's unchangeable. The Word of Almighty God. The Word is unchangeable. Governments change. Edicts change. Laws change. The economy changes, the weather changes, the price of groceries change, gas prices change, employment changes, etc. and so forth. And you understand what I'm saying. But the Word of Almighty God reads the same today as it read yesterday, and it'll read the same tomorrow, hallelujah, as it reads today. So we can anchor on this, we can anchor in on this, and we can have a surety that what God has spoken, He will do. He will bring to pass everything He has said in this book. With that having been said as a foundation for today's telecast, I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, and we're going to read beginning in the 20th verse. Now, this is a famous verse, and many of you have heard this as it relates to healing, but I want you to broaden your understanding in this and understand that it doesn't just mean physical healing. It could go for anything, and I believe some of the things that we're going to look at today will be a blessing to you as the Lord, the Holy Spirit, applies the Word to your heart. Heavenly Father, thank You for this few moments with the friends and the partners and the viewers today. Father God, as we take the Word and open it up for this telecast, I ask that You put a heavy anointing upon it. Drive it to our hearts, Lord, like an arrow of deliverance. Set us free, Father. Set us free in our thinking. Renew our minds. Transform our minds to begin to think like God thinks. as we study God's word here today. We ask you this humbly, Lord, giving Jesus all the praise and glory. And everybody would say, amen and amen. Now in Proverbs 4 and verse 20, the Bible says this, "My son, give attention to my words." So the first thing right off the bat, when you and I sit down to read the Word of God, or if we're listening to a tape, or if we're in a church hearing a sermon, whatever, the first thing we need to understand is pay attention. Okay, this is not the time. Let me tell you something. When you're sitting studying the Word of God, whether it's in a church or in your home or wherever it is, that is not the time to be texting your friend. That is not the time to be worrying about how many times your device is going off, okay? That is not the time to be thinking about how many home runs you're going to hit. I remember one time a young man told me that. I asked him, I said, "What in the world were you thinking about when I was talking just there?" He said, "I was thinking about how many home runs I was going to hit." Well, that there's a time and a place for that. There's a time to dream that big dream and a time to dream the things of God. There's a time to text and communicate with your friends, but when you're hearing and studying the Word, that's not the time. Praise God. It said, give attention to my words, and we need to show respect to the Word of God. When the preacher's preaching, you know, don't be getting up and down and leaving the auditorium 6-8 times. Huh? We need to show respect to the Word of God. Give attention. Pay attention to those words. And then it says, incline your ear to my sayings. Now here's what that means. You know what an incline is. It's this right here. As if I was straining to hear every little nuance, every little voice inflection, every little thing. I don't want to miss a thing. That's the attitude we are to have where the Word of God is concerned. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. It means a little more. It also means listen with your left ear and with your right. So in other words, again, it's that wholehearted attention and devotion to the Word of God. When the Word is going forth, whether you're reading it, whether you're hearing it, however, you are to listen with your left ear and with your right. You're to incline your ear. You're to pay attention. Because in these words of God is your very life. In this Word of God is your promise. It's your hope. It's your deliverance. It's your success. It's your well-being right here in the Word of God. And then it says in verse 21, do not let them, the Word of God, depart from your eyes. Praise God. So we see the Word, and what that is emphasizing there is, okay, I see the trouble also. I acknowledge there is a problem here, whatever the area might be of life. But instead of focusing on that, I'm going to focus on the Word of God. So a lot of times I tell people, when you pray, start by praying the answer rather than by praying the problem. Let me say that one more time. Sometimes it's very beneficial to us if we start our prayers with the answer rather than the problem. I mean, the Lord knows what my problem is. And we tell the Lord the problem. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. So I'm not saying don't talk about the problem in prayer to God. But I'm saying I like to start with the answer. Lord, your word says. Lord, your word says. Now here's what my situation's doing. It's contradicting the word. And I know, Father, because of faith in Jesus Christ, that your word overrides the contradiction of the circumstance. Glory be to God. I mean, that's just the kind of attitude that we're told here to have where the Word of God is concerned. This is more than a casual ho-hum attitude about the things of the Spirit. This is the type of attitude God wants us to have. Let's read this all again and then bring it down to another point. My son, aren't you glad God calls us sons and daughters? Hallelujah. I mean, this book, this covenant, these covenants, I should say, these blessings, these promises, this hope is for the children of God. Hallelujah. My son, give attention to my words. incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes. And then he says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, your heart is the deepest part of you. The Bible tells us, Jesus talked about believing with your heart. In other words, it's possible as a believer to have doubts in your head and yet still believe in your heart. Your head might be telling you one thing. Joyce Meyer wrote a book. It's a good book. It's called The Battlefield of the Mind. And that is where our struggles, 90% of them, come from, is the mind. My head might be telling me it's no way possible I'm going to get this money that I need for this ministry situation. My head might be telling me that there's just no way it can be done. I can try and try and try. It's just not going to happen. That's partly true. Satan always takes a part truth, because in my own ability, in my own strength, I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And his word says he will meet my needs according to his riches and glory. Not according to the puny little stockpiles of the world, but he will meet these needs according to his riches and glory. And so I stand on that word of God, and I cast down, the Bible says casting down imaginations, I cast down the thought that comes into my mind to rob me of God's promise. So there can come a doubt in my head, and yet I can still be believing in my heart, that deepest part of me, that real me, the spirit man, hallelujah, and the spirit man and the natural man struggle one with another all the time. So you see, we keep the word of God in the midst of our heart at all times. We anchor in on it. Now, I'm going to read that again. And we're going slow with this for a purposeful reason. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they, my words, are life to those who find them. I like to go metal detecting, and many times as I'm out and about and I get a signal that there's something under the ground, that I immediately begin to start digging for that object, that whatever it is. I can't see the object, so I don't really know at that point what I'm digging for. Sometimes you can get an idea by the sound of the tone from the metal detector, but you're never really sure until you find it. But nonetheless, I begin to dig. There are circumstances in our lives as Christians that we're going to face that we don't know really even what we're looking for as far as an answer, a solution, a problem, or a solution to a problem, or a promise from God that will cover this. Sometimes we don't even know what it is that we look for. Jesus said that if you find a treasure, you'll buy the whole field. And you'll begin to search for that treasure. And that's what we have here with the Word of God. God knows what we need. And God is leading us to the proper situation. And so we just, sometimes, you know, when you don't know what to do, and when you're not sure the direction that the Holy Spirit wants to take you, sometimes what you have to do is just start reading the Word of God. And just start praising the Lord in the midst of reading His Word. Just start worshiping Him in the Word. Pray the Word back to Him. Sometimes you just have to sit and meditate in the Word. And then the Holy Spirit, like a light bulb coming on, shows you what He's wanting to do. You see, that is keeping the Word. That is the Word becoming life to you because you have found it. You have found it. In order to find something, it implies that there is some type of a search activity that's taking place on our part. In other words, the Word doesn't say here, I'm going to throw it all out there. You're going to stumble over it. You're just going to happen upon it. That's not what's being said here. It says they are life to those who find them. So we search. We search for the mind of Christ. We search for the plan and the purpose and the pursuits of God. We search for the will of the Lord for our lives. And as we search, glory to God. How do we search? We search in the Word. Remember, The Word is final authority. The Word is first place. The Word is that which we anchor in on to build our lives and to base our worldview and our thought processes and everything else on. So we find it, we search for it in the Word. And when we find it, it becomes life to us. And then the Scripture says, and health to all their flesh. Now I'm going to say this, and you know, I many people ask me about divine healing, and they say, well, Brother Paxton, what about those who don't get it? Listen, if you need healing in your physical body, you need to go after it and believe God for it with every fiber of your being. There are some people that do not get healed, and I don't have the answers for all of that. I'm just being honest with you. I don't know why some get it and some don't. But I do know what the Word says and promises. And so I go, if I'm sick in my body, I go after the healing from the Lord. And here's how, kind of how I feel about it. You stand in faith and leave the consequences up to God. And some of these things that we do not understand in the here and now, we will in the by and by. Praise the Lord. So when it comes to healing, the Bible says that the Word of the Lord will become health to all your flesh. So the Bible said it, so I believe it, man. I'm not going to, I mean, it's settled in heaven already. God has said, my word is health to your flesh. So I believe that, and I'm not going to sit here and try to analyze why it wouldn't be true. And I can't get to looking at those who did receive and those who didn't receive and why this and why that. Those questions come, it's not wrong to have them, but don't let it stop you and put you in a box from believing the promises of the Lord, because the Word of God does not change. And somebody said, well, healing is not for today. Well, somebody should have told God that, because there were several people got healed yesterday. And there'll be several people in the world healed today. There's miracles taking place. It's all still for today. The Word of God has not changed, and so we need to believe. Hallelujah. Now we're getting to the 23rd verse, but before we do, I'm going to read those three verses again. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. Now keep your heart. That's your inner man. And so again, it emphasizes here to keep that inner man properly focused on Christ and Him crucified, on the Word of Almighty God. You see, Jesus is the living Word. This is the written Word. You know, we keep ourselves focused on that. It's a diligent effort required, because everything that Satan has will be hurled at you for one purpose. You see, Satan wants your faith. He wants your faith off of Christ. He wants you to put your faith in you, or put your faith in your ability or your circumstances or your situation or your friends or your family or whatever, but he wants your faith off of Christ. And so here's the deal. It's a diligent effort required for you and I sometimes to keep our faith properly anchored in the Word of God. Hallelujah. When you're believing in what Jesus did at the cross, you're believing in the Word. When you're believing in the blood, you're believing in the Word. It's the same thing there. And it represents the same thing and stands for the same thing where God is concerned. So it says, keep your heart, the inner man, and signifying to us here today, keeping our walk with God in the Spirit with all diligence. Now, the latter portion of that verse says this, for out of it, out of my heart, and out of a heart filled with the Word, but I'm going to come back to that in a moment, spring the issues of life. Now for today, that's where we're going to leave off. But let me say this about it before we close. For out of it, For out of a man's heart springs the issue of life. The issues, plural, of life. That goes for saved man and unsaved man both. That goes for the guy out here who, in his heart, he's got hatred. In his heart, he's got anger. In his heart, he's got bitterness. He's got depression. He's got animosity. He's got fear. All of these things that are foreign to the covenant of God. If that's in the heart, if we allow that to take root in our heart, then it will spring forth as an issue in our life. Right on the other hand, if we have a heart filled with the Word of God, filled with the promises of God, filled with the glory of God, if we have a heart that is anchored by faith in what God has said, then out of that heart will spring the issues of life also. And those issues will be joy and peace and love and victory and prosperity and goodness and health and wholeness in one manifestation or another. So we see it's a diligent effort required, because what comes out determines the boundaries of our lives. Now here's the meaning of the word issue here. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Here's one meaning of that word. There's several meanings for the Hebrew word. One of them is, it's a force. It's a life force, the forces of life. And those are things like faith, righteousness, joy, peace, love, kindness, self-control, being a studious person. All of these things start first in the heart. And if you'll remember that everything God ever does for you, everything God ever does for humanity, has to start in the spirit or the heart. That's where the starting place is. It doesn't start in the natural. It doesn't start in the physical. It starts first in the heart, and then it manifests itself in a variety of ways in the tangible and natural world that we live in. Another meaning for that word issue, if you go way back into Hebrew, you will find that this word was used for a stone wall that was built as a land division and a land separation device. In other words, to separate my property from yours. In other words, the word issue was a boundary. So we can see here that from a man's heart, and from the amount of the Word of God that that man is acting on, sets the boundaries of his or her life. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? You set the boundaries of your own life by what you're willing to believe and what you're standing on in the Word of God and what you're acting upon. So, many of you, God has given you things to do. He's given you a calling in your heart and life. He's given you a promise. And you haven't seen it come to pass yet, perhaps. And voices are constantly coming at you saying it can't happen, it won't happen, you can't do it, you're not enough, you're not adequate. All of these things that these voices will say. And if you lend your ear to that, if you incline your ear to that, then you will fall and you will fail and you will not see the promise of God brought to pass in your life. But if you will diligently keep your heart, and if you will pay attention to the words and the promises of the Lord, and if you will incline your ear to His sayings, if you will keep the Word of God in the midst of your eyes and in your heart, if you will search for them, hallelujah, you will find them, and you've just elevated the bar in your life. You've just set your boundaries out a little further in God, hallelujah. You've just determined to conquer new territory for Jesus, to take that step of faith and advance in the kingdom because of faith in the Word of Almighty God. And then it says in verse 24, and I close with this, put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. In other words, don't talk contrary about your situation to what the Word says. Speak the Word of God about your situation. Stand on it. Believe it. Keep it in your heart. Speak it. And act on it. And God will do a miracle in your life. He will bring to pass the things that He has promised you. In whatever area that we're talking about here today, God will do it. I like the scripture where Jesus said, if you can believe it, I can do it. That's talking about Himself. And so, Lord, we look to You today. Father, I pray for every person in the television audience today. We look to You. We ask You. We come expecting You to perform Your words in our lives according to the way that You want them done. We dictate nothing. We demand nothing. But Lord, we ask You to have Your perfect way in us, and we have faith on the Word of God today. We have faith in the blood of Jesus, and we have faith in what Jesus did for us at the cross today. And so we commit our lives to You, and we commit these issues of life, Lord. Help us to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to grow in the gifts of the Spirit. Help us, Lord God, not to allow the flesh to come in and take away our promise. And we lay claim by the blood of the Lamb right now, in Jesus' name. And everybody would say, amen and amen. Thank you so much for tuning in with me this week. It's been great to be with you as always. And we hope that you will watch again next week as we tackle another Bible subject. And I praise God for these times. They're very special to me. This is Evangelist Len Paxton saying, go with God, and He will go with you. Bless you now is my prayer for your life. Hey everybody, this is Brother Paxton. I'm here at the site of the Battle of Bean Station, Tennessee. And you know, I was thinking that a good Civil War soldier had to have a couple of things going for him. First of all, he had to have faith in his commander. And secondly, he had to be obedient. You know, the goal of every Christian is to become more like Christ. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says, what will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. In order for you and I to arrive at our chief goal as Christians, and that goal is to be like Jesus, to be like our commander, we have to have faith in Him, and we have to obey what He tells us to do. And as we get into that posture, the Holy Spirit conforms us into the image of Christ. If we try to do this in our own strength, we're going to fall short. But if we trust the Lord, if we trust the Holy Spirit, He makes us who He wants us to be. And we'll begin to look more and more and more just like Jesus. So from this beautiful spot, there's nothing here anymore. This is where a Civil War battle took place. You and I are in a battle every day of our lives to maintain faith in what Jesus did for us at the cross. And as we do that, it becomes a good fight. It's the good fight of faith. It's a fight that's already been won. Jesus paid it all. Jesus defeated every force of the enemy. And you and I can relish in His victory. And we call it forth now in His mighty name. Amen.